I wanted to share something with you today that I shared some years ago in a different form, just because it seems so appropriate to the situation that we find ourselves in. I'm delivering this message in this way today because of this whole situation with the threat of the COVID-19 or coronavirus. And wow, the country has just become paralyzed. Businesses are either closed down or severely limited in what they can do. The stores are out of product. Nobody's quite sure what the deal is with the toilet paper. I saw a funny the other day on Facebook that said, I remember the days in which toilet paper was so common we used to spread it on the yards of our enemies. But things have changed. All the sports events that so many of us enjoy so much have been canceled for the season. And even churches now are not able to gather as we would like to. Are we overreacting? Well, depends on who you ask. But people are losing their livelihood. The media reports every new thing breathlessly and in my opinion, just feeds the fear by the 24-hour news cycle. The economy worldwide is suffering from what's happening. Is it too much? I honestly don't have a good answer. Seems like it is, but maybe not. But the question then becomes to the churches. Here in Dallas, we've been told no more than 50 people. And then the thing came down from Abbott saying no more than 10 people, but maybe churches are exempt because he wasn't sure that he could do that. But some churches are having nothing to do with it. Some churches are saying, no, you're not going to stop us. We're going to meet. And the reason why is because they believe that by not meeting, they're disobeying God. You know, the passage in Hebrews said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So their take on it is that we would be disobeying God in this case, and we're not going to do it. Well, I guess I can respect that. But on the other hand, God never gave us a number other than if any two or three are gathered together, there am I in their midst. So you don't have to have 50. You don't even have to have 10. We don't necessarily have to stop gathering. We just, for now, and I emphasize that for now, maybe don't gather in such large groups that we're used to. But we can still practice that guidance from our Bible that says get together with your fellow believers. We don't have to do that at the same time, at the same place, in the same building necessarily. Now, the day may come when we've got to stand up against something that the government is doing, but I don't believe that time is now. If we had an ice storm, and we've done this before, if we had an ice storm and we were concerned about people getting hurt, we would shut down services in order to keep people from getting hurt trying to come in the middle of an ice storm. Well, one could argue that this is a little bit more serious than that ice storm. Then on the other hand, maybe it won't be. Your odds actually are probably pretty low of catching this thing. But, you know, and many of us mistrust the information that we're getting from the news media and from the government. But it's not unreasonable to act on what we think we understand until we understand more. And the threat is real. this thing does, it spreads easily. It spreads easily from people who don't even know that they have it. They don't even feel sick. And yet they have the potential to make other people sick. It's potentially fatal to those who are elderly or those who are sick. So, yeah, the threat is real. And we ought to at least take some precaution against it. But we have we've reacted with so much fear. You know, disability can bring its own set of fears that add on to it that we've faced every day. And a perfect illustration of that comes from my own childhood. I can remember way back in the early days of my schooling, I had two friends in class, and I will name them Tommy and George. And both of them had disabilities that kept them from being able to walk properly. One had no legs and had prosthetics. And one, I don't know what his issue was, but he was not able to use his legs. But I remember one day when it was time to go home, and the van pulled up to take Tommy home, and he was completely petrified of crossing the threshold to get out. He just didn't think he could do it. And he stood there for several minutes on his walker right there at the threshold of the doorway to go out and wouldn't move. And on the other hand, we had my friend George. Now, my friend George, one time I took him, they let me take him, push him. They probably shouldn't have. But you know, kudos to them for, I guess they'd watched me enough. They figured it'd be all right. Jeff could always tell me if I was going to run him into something. But I got this bright idea. There was a ramp that went down from the cafeteria there where we got the juice to where our classroom was. A pretty long ramp. So I got this great idea that I was just going to take him to the top of that ramp and give him a shove and let go. And he rolled all the way down that ramp. And thankfully, God must have been looking out for us both because nothing bad happened. He got to the end, and I imagine he had brakes on the thing to stop himself. Otherwise, he might have rolled all the way into the doors going outside. I'm not sure. But, yeah, as I can say, God was looking out for us. And he just had a blast. He was laughing the whole way. Thought it was great. Sometimes, I don't know, because of his, you know, if there was irritation or whatever, sometimes he wouldn't have his legs with him. Didn't bother him any. He would just scoot across the floor. We went to music class. He would scoot across the floor, dragging himself with his hands and making motorcycle noises. Now, I don't know the family lives of these two children, but I have a suspicion. I have a suspicion that they were very different. That I have a suspicion that Tommy's parents protected and sheltered him, while Jeff's parents let him do anything he wanted to do. I had my own fears at that time, so I can't claim that, you know, I was completely without challenge. But when we're disabled, the world even agrees with us, tells us that we can't do this or we can't do that. And the additional dangers are real. If you have difficulty walking, there is a danger of falling. If you can't see, you might not see danger that's coming, or you might get lost. There are more ways to fail. There are more ways to experience rejection. Those things are real. And sometimes we can imagine the worst. And it's good to be aware. It's good to, you know, God gave us a certain measure of protective fear. I don't know how to phrase that better, but he gave us fear to protect us from things that really can hurt us. And it's good to have that caution. The problem comes when that becomes magnified and we make things worse than they are. Because fear then turns from a protector to a jailer. And when we let it rule, when we let it rule us, when we turn off our minds and stop thinking about what's going on and just react to the stimulus, when we let it isolate us and keep us apart from life and from relationships and from other people, when we forget, most importantly though, who is with us. And that's where I want to bring our focus today and our focus in the Word. Because we don't need to forget that God is always with us. And when God is with us, we have no reason to fear. Fear can be disabling. But if we focus on God, if we focus on the fact that He is always with us, then we instead can disable fear in our lives. And we have these heavenly weapons that we can use in our battle against fear. And I call them faith, hope, and love. Let's talk about faith for a minute. A lot of people teach faith as fear's opposite, and certainly faith is one of those weapons or one of those things that allows us to put fear in its place. But I don't know that I would call faith the opposite of fear. And I'll get to more of that in a minute. But I want to draw your attention to a particular story. And those of us who have been around a while in church know this story well. We've all heard it from Sunday school on. And I'm going to read it from Luke chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. And I'm going to read it out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. One day, he and his disciples got into the boat, that is Jesus, and he told them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they were sailing, he fell asleep. Then a fierce windstorm came down on the lake. They were being swamped, and they were in danger. They came and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to die." Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, asking one another, "Who can this be that he commands even the wind and the waves, and they obey him?" Now, maybe he was saying, as I've heard some people teach, "Why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do it? You could have done it." Maybe so. But I think that at this point in the relationship, he's saying, "Why didn't you trust me?" The message version actually puts it like that. "Why can't you trust me?" Now, they were fearful. But they were fearful not for groundless reasons. It wasn't like they had no reason. I mean, these people were fishermen. They had probably lost people who they knew over the years to just this kind of situation. These little old flimsy boats out there in the middle of a storm. He could easily be turned over or broken up, and you could be drowned. It was a real thing. A real reason to be afraid. But they didn't yet understand one thing. That they had God with them right there in that boat. You can hear that even in the question that they asked afterwards. You know, "Who is this? they still don't completely understand who it is that has called them out and who's with them in that boat. But we can trust God. We don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen with this whole crisis that we're in right now. We don't know how bad it's going to get. We don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know that we even really know what's happening. And we don't know that even in our own lives. You know, much less could we predict it for the larger picture. We don't know in our own lives what's going to happen tomorrow. And a lot of times we don't understand. Every one of us is going through something now that we don't quite understand why sometimes. But we have learned, and we're still learning, that we can trust Him. That He has a plan, that He has a purpose, and that He's going to work it out. And my goodness, folks, what is the worst case scenario? What is the worst thing that could possibly happen? Eternity begins. You get to die and go be with Jesus and begin your life with the Lord. I don't know about you, but that don't sound so bad to me. I want to finish what He's given me to do here. I don't want to go before my time, but I'm okay with that. Faith is our shield when these things come about us. Just like the devil will try to attack you, but faith is your shield, like it says in Ephesians 6:16. And the word of God is our sword, Ephesians 6:17. Because we fight the fear with truth. And where do we find the truth? We find the truth in His word. And your battle is a spiritual one. I had a lot of trouble when I was a young man with nightmares. And I don't know that I would even call them nightmares. I really honestly don't know at this point anymore whether they were truly spiritual attacks or whether they were just panic attacks, but they would happen in the middle of the night, and they sure felt spiritual to me. And I knew that Scripture was the defense, that the truth of Scripture was the defense against the attacks of the enemy, so I took a scripture that I found in the book of Psalms, chapter 4, verse 8, and I taped it to the side of my bed. And before I would go to bed at night, or if I got woke up by one of those things in the middle of the night, because I'd gotten where I wouldn't even go to sleep, lay up half the night and watch TV because I didn't want to go to sleep and have that happen to me. But I put this psalm on the side of my bed, and it wasn't in this version, but I like this version because it uses God's name. But it says, "In peace I will lie down and sleep at once, for You alone, O Yahweh, make me to dwell safely." And so I would read that anytime this would happen. You know what? Over time, those things stopped happening, and I was able to sleep. Hope protects us against fear, because our hope is in Him. Our hope is in God, the creator of the universe. Hope is not a mere wish. We use that word so flippantly, kind of like the way we use the word love. You know, I hope this happens. No, this is something much greater than that. And it is the knowledge that whatever happens, whatever's going on in our lives, we have God with us. And He's promised us more and greater things. And we hold on to that. And it allows us to go through some of the difficult things that we all face. And we can risk. We can risk more than we would ever risk in the under normal circumstances, because we know that there's a greater reward coming. We're assured of that because of who we are. And we can dare to love because we have our hope placed in Him. And finally, love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says that now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And I believe love is fear's true opposite. First John, chapter 4, verse 18, reads out of the New King James Version, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Love overcomes fear. Love overcomes fear because it demands action. It inspires trust. You know, the people who love us don't hurt us, or at least not intentionally. Sometimes they do, because we're not perfect. But how much more then the one who loves us truly, perfectly? He is not out to hurt us. He's out to do us good. And we can trust that that's his ultimate goal, whatever is going on in our lives. We have nothing to fear. Linda, just last week, was sharing with us from Psalm 27, verse 1. Again, I'm going to read it from the LEB. But Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the refuge of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And Jesus himself tells us not to fear. In John 14:27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." He's saying this to his disciples just before he's about to be crucified. And things are about to look pretty deep, pretty bleak. But he is also foretelling the Holy Spirit that he's going to send. And we have that Holy Spirit with us as believers all the time. So when we are faced with fear, we know biblically how to fight it. And I really believe that the things I'm going to say next come out of that, because it's God-given. Everything that we have is God-given. Our reason is God-given. In this particular situation now that we're dealing with this coronavirus, we can apply the same questions that we would apply to any fear that we might have. How likely is it? Now, part of the fear with this is that the uncertainty. We don't know. It's not really clear how easy it is to catch. It's pretty obvious if you get around somebody that has it that you're gonna, you know, you can get it. And the problem is we don't know who has it because they don't show symptoms. So yeah, it's how likely are we to come into contact with somebody who has it? That's the part we don't really know. I would say that the odds are low for most of us, perhaps higher because we live in a metropolitan area. Then the next question we ask is, well, how bad is this thing that we're afraid of, really? Well, this one's possibly fatal, so I guess that's pretty bad. But it's also true that most people recover from it. It's people that have something else going on that have a higher risk of it being a fatal thing. But yeah, that's pretty bad. I have to admit that. Can we do anything? Then the next question is, can we do anything? Is it preventable, or reducible? Is there any way to lessen? And yes, there are. And that's the kind of things we're doing. Of course, you know, everybody's been washing your hands. There's videos and all kind of stuff. You know, wash your hands. And of course, limit being around people. Since you don't know who has it, about all you can do is try not to be around people so that you don't catch it from somebody. And then, can you recover? And if you can recover, how? Make a plan to recover. Not so helpful in this situation. All you can do is write it out. But as other things go, as you're facing a fear and as you're working through that fear, these are the kind of questions you can ask. And there's no shame in asking for help. We all need help sometimes. And then, of course, the question, is it worth the risk? In this case, maybe not. But what about questions that are more a little bit easier to answer? Let's shift back from the coronavirus to disability for a moment. Is it worth the risk, whatever it is that we're afraid of? Yeah, you might fall. I know that you know, Tim has been in the process of recovery for the last couple of years. I bet you he's fallen a few times. But you know what else I know about Tim? He's gotten back up. And he's going to keep getting back up. Why? Because the risk of falling is not as bad as the consequence of just giving up. He's not going to do that. And none of us ought to do that. So you get back up, and yeah, if you need help, you ask for help. You might get lost. I've done that a time or two. And you know, if you know somebody who's directionally challenged, they say now, you don't have to be blind to get in that situation. Linda would always say, "Well, the world's around; we'll get there." Well, absolutely. I actually used to look at it as a challenge. If I managed to get myself lost, it was fun to me to find a way. I know not everybody feels that way, but it was fun to me to find a way to get out of the situation. Figure out, okay, where am I? I'm lost. Let me figure it out. You know what? Accidents happen. I got hit one time. Thankfully, it wasn't very bad. I think I've probably told everybody that story. But I was crossing a street here locally in the city. And I went to step out thinking that the car had stopped, you know, the car had stopped, so I thought I could go. Well, all of a sudden, he started up again. It kind of shook me up. But what am I going to do? Stay in my house, locked up all the time, never go anywhere, never do anything, because if I go out, I might get hit? That's no way to live. It's worth, now, you know, I'm careful. After that happened, I did things a little bit differently in the way that I crossed the street to give myself an extra measure of security that nobody's going to do that. But it was, you know, it's worth that small risk to go ahead and live life. Now, you know, some things didn't make sense. I gave up the moped. That was a little bit too much. As much as I would enjoy riding a bicycle again, I'm not going to buy a bicycle because the risks are too high. But you make those choices. You decide what's worth it. And you deal with the fear. And some people have a fear that seems to be beyond their control. They have they have panic attacks. I don't recommend that drugs are the best answer to that. And I would also caution not to dismiss the spiritual aspect of that. We do have an enemy. We do have, and fear is one of his best tactics, because he can absolutely box you in and imprison you with fear. Don't discount the spiritual aspect of that. And if you're really struggling with that in your life, you know, as I've said, there's no harm in getting help. There's no shame in looking to help. But if you're gonna look for help, Find a counselor that's a believer, and preferably one that's spirit-filled, that is able to help in those areas that are, you know, in all areas, both the physical and the spiritual. And of course, stay connected in prayer, and let the Holy Spirit minister to you and love you and guide you through. Because it's too expensive. It's too expensive to be imprisoned by your fear. Just look around us. Look at what's happening. It will cost you opportunities. It may cost you employment. It may cost you an experience that you could have had. It may cost you the opportunity to discover a new talent or something that you could do. It may cost you relationships, friendships, maybe even romance. And unfortunately, some people are so afraid of what they'll have to give up and what they might lose, they even allow it to cost them a relationship with Jesus. Certainly, we don't want to do that. Don't let fear disable you. Disable fear instead. Because he loves us, and because we know that he loves us, we can trust him. Because he loves us, we can love him and we can love others. Because we can rely on that. And in that trust and love, we can find the courage to conquer fear and to be all that he intends for us to be. I want you to think about the disciples in that boat and remember something. God's in your boat too. They had the physical Jesus with them in that boat, but we have the Holy Spirit with us. We can't see him, but he's just as real. And he's with us whatever the storms are that we're facing in our lives. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when you're facing Hurricane Corona or stroke or blindness or MS or RA or pick your poison. Those things are not bigger than our God. Don't let fear disable you. Disable fear instead. Go out and do what he's called you to do. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for being with us, for doing what was necessary that we could have that relationship with you. Show us, Lord, in this time when there's so much fear, how to be bold and how to be agents of healing and agents of joy and agents of life amidst everything that's going on. Help us to make the choices that bring people together and not push people apart and not push people away. Help us make the choices that further your kingdom and not create more division. Thank you, Lord, for that opportunity that we have. May we make the most of it. And may you send revival down on our land, even in the midst of this. In Jesus' name, amen.